I'm sorry to bring this up in this moment, but did you know that they are rebooting The Mummy and that Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz are confirmed to be a part of it?
I do.
Have you ever
I
been more
did.
excited in your life?
The answer is no. Kim, you've just taken me, like, today was a stressful day, and between talking about this movie and also reminding me that that's happening, you know, there's still good in the world.
Still light in the world, and it's just these things,
It's
but they're
Brendan
there.
Fraser.
It's mostly Brendan Fraser. Yeah, Brendan Fraser and Tamino Thomas are the two beacons of light in this world. Everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Mollywood boys. Multiple of our favorite Mollywood boys, but also women, Mollywood women.
Yes, Mollywood women, Mollywood superheroes.
But also vampires?
Yeah, that was a
A
surprise,
lot of
huh?
things. A lot of things. Yeah.
So we're talking about Loca, and I am dying
Yeah.
to know, Katie, what did you think?
Oh my God, it's so good.
Yes.
It's so good. I have one complaint about it, and it is that it was not a show so that I could have like three or four times the content.
Yeah.
That is my complaint. It was perfect. It was so cool. And the music was so good
Music's
and
amazing.
used and utilized so well to give you the exact like emotion that they're looking for. Like I was really freaked out by I forget what they even called it, like creepy music. I enjoy watching in
The
the subtitles,
subtitles, yeah, the subtitles on
like how
Hulu
they
are fun.
describe, yeah, how they describe the music. But yeah, I was like inspired when I needed to be inspired, and then I was freaked out when I needed to be freaked out. And then there were little bits of humor, but it was also gory. Like the action scenes were amazing, and it really reminded me of like the original Marvel movies. Like it had that spirit and that craft behind it. Yeah, it was just so well made. Like I loved it. And the world building is awesome. And I was like, I need more.
I'm so glad that you loved it. I agree with everything you have said. Both times that I've watched it, I literally, like, I was tempted to just start the movie over and watch it a second time. Because,
Yeah, well, I'm excited to go over it with you and to hear the
yes.
recap because I think there are a lot of different players and a lot of different like factions.
Yes.
And I think that my understanding of kind of the who's who might be a little muddied when it comes to like the people in charge,
Yeah.
you know, that we only see glimpses of. And there's a lot of people calling shots and literally calling each other on the phone. And I'm like, wait,
Who?
who's with whom? Yeah. So I'm hoping that you're gonna help me
Yes. Things
straighten
were,
things out.
yes, there were things that were clearer to me this time. I'm going to say this now. I don't usually do this. This isn't really the kind of movie viewer I am, but I've watched so many interviews about this movie. I've watched so many YouTube commentary reviews about this movie and people talking about like the details that they noticed and all this stuff. And I'm just like, that's what this movie is. It's the kind of thing where, like, yeah, it's riddled with Easter eggs and little references. You know, in-world references and references to Malayalam cinema at large, and but yeah, it's like you said about it wanting this to be a series. Like I kept thinking, like I want to watch the movie again, and then I realized I was like, no, I want more from this world. Like I cannot wait for more from this world.
Yeah, and I want to make it clear that, yeah, this is different than when we have occasionally in the past said, I think that movie would have been better as a show. Because they clearly didn't have the time to go into everything they needed to go into. That is not what I'm saying. I think this movie was perfect and they closed the ends that needed to be closed for our understanding. And clearly, what was left open is because they have plans to give us that information farther down the line. So, like, that I'm totally on board with. It's literally just, I want more.
Absolutely.
Now. Like, when is the second one coming out?
I have no idea. Tovino Thomas is a very busy man. He's in like 17 movies right now.
Oh my God. Also, sorry, you just reminded me. I have to kind of love my selective memory sometimes. Yeah. Because you had definitely mentioned that Tovey was in this movie.
Uh-huh.
I forgot.
Yeah.
And you probably even mentioned it last time we recorded.
I didn't, because I was hoping you would have forgotten. So
I did forget. Yeah. So his entrance, which we're going to definitely talk about when it happens, but I was just like, oh my God, I love this guy's vibe, because I always love that kind of character. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, he's so fun and charismatic. And like, he looks familiar. How do I know this guy? And then I was like, oh my God, is that Tovey? No way. And then I confirmed and I was like, yes, it is Tovey. Amazing.
Yeah. As we talked about when we watched Minal Murali, there is this consistent theme for you of not recognizing Tovey when he shows up unexpectedly. So,
yeah, which I think is so funny.
Yeah. He's a chameleon.
Because sort of. It was like there were glimpses of him. And then as soon as I was like, yes, that is Tovey, I was like, of course, he looks exactly like Tovey. He's got Tovey's face. Like, yeah. Duh. But I think it was like the sunglasses, and I was so distracted by his outfit, yeah, and all of the stuff he was doing, because I was like, what are you?
Yes. There's a lot going on. A lot going on with him. But we'll get to it. As well as the other cameos, which are equally exciting. But first, our cast. Yes. We have Kalyani Priyadarshan as Chandra.
Amazing.
Love her. Just
perfect casting choice.
Yes, she's amazing. Her huge eyes that just...
Yeah.
Even when she's, like, trying to feel nothing, she just feels so much with right. her eyes.
It's like she's the perfect mix. She's, like, she's broody, but she's also, like, intimidating.
Yes.
But you also, like, feel sympathy for her.
And,
like,
and she's also, like, soft. Like, it just...
And strong?
Yes. Yeah. she's perfection. And then we have Naslin as Sunny and Sandy as Nachiappa. I think that's all I'll say. IMDb wants me to mention Tovey. He's fourth on the list, but
yeah,
I feel like we'll talk about him. I mean, we've already talked about him, but when he shows up. It was written and directed by Dominic Arun, and I also wanted to mention that Santi Balachandran is credited with additional screenplay and dramaturgy, and she's been in a bunch of... The interviews that I've watched, and they've talked about her in interviews that she's not a part of, that she was like a really big part of the writing of this movie. Like, she's really instrumental to it. And she's in the movie too. I'll mention her when she comes up. But I am always so appreciative of a female-centered film where a woman's perspective was taken into consideration. And again, in particular, there's a moment that I will bring up that Dominic Arun has talked about in interviews as being like a really like an important moment that she kind of brought into the conversation, or like framed in a new way, I'll say.
Yes. That is another thing I forgot to mention, because there was just so much else to talk about, and there continues to be so much to talk about. But this movie is so centered on the female experience.
Yeah.
It's like it's not trying necessarily. It's like it's just showing the world as it is.
Uh-huh.
And I love that. It just felt like effortless.
It felt very authentic.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And like, I wouldn't even say that's what the movie's necessarily about. I think it's a theme.
Right.
But yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And I'm just so excited about the fact that, like, obviously a big part of this movie is immortality and the burden of immortality. And I feel like the way that we see Chandra carry that burden is going to be different than the way that we see Michael carry that burden or Charlie carry that. Yeah. You know, it's like that. It's going to be different for each of these characters. And I'm excited to see them explore that in every movie. I mean, maybe not in the same way with the same attention, but I love it. I also learned in an interview that The Age of Adeline is one of Dulquer Salman's favorite movies. So it makes sense that he wanted to give attention to the immortality piece.
Yeah, I really need to watch that. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but I've heard good things. DQ raves about it.
And we rave about DQ.
Yeah.
He just keeps going up, up, and up, in my estimation.
Absolutely, he does.
Yeah.
I have just one more thing that I want to say, one fun fact before we dive into the plot, which is that this is the first woman-led film to come out of the South to hit 200 crores in sales. Yeah, and I think it maybe even has gone up to 300 now. It's certainly, it should. It's that was like in early weeks that it had hit 200. So I'm sure it's well above it now.
I'm sure it was one of those movies that like drew a lot of people in, but then the word of mouth would have just exponentially increased.
Yeah. And people went to see it multiple times because they were like, well, yeah. I need to go again and see and pick up the details. And yeah, it's that kind of movie. So yeah, good stuff.
God, it's so good. And like, the way they filmed it, I just, oh. I loved everything about it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Let's get into the plot. My plot recap is long, but I will move through it as quickly as I can. Also, a disclaimer that some of the stuff that I cut out to make it less long is stuff that I know is going to be important in later movies, but I was just like, we can talk about it then.
Yeah.
So, we open on the words, all legends have an element of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thrown right into the thick of it. We see our hero, Chandra, taking cover in the middle of a gunfight, and she picks up a red rotary phone and calls a man named Prakash. This is one of the calls you were referring to.
So many calls.
And Prakash asks Chandra if she has it, and she says yes, and he says, good, get out of there. So Chandra pulls some cool, slick moves to escape from this burning building, and we see her run off into the city. And I don't think we're supposed to know what's happening, but that's okay.
We don't know what's happening. Also, the person who's after her, super cool.
Yeah.
Excited to learn more about what their deal is.
And we definitely see they've got like an elephant symbol, and we definitely see that symbol like in and around stuff with this world. So it's like, this is like the enemy, I think, or the antagonist. But so this launches us into an opening. It's not even really an animated sequence. It's just like art that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yes, very cool. Lays out the mythology of the world. And again, in a way that leaves us guessing. And even like after having watched the movie once, going back and watching this, like there were some things that I noticed. Like I didn't notice the first time. I don't think you would have noticed the first time that Sunny, the guy who looks like Sunny from her past, is in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's one thing that like as it was happening, I was like, cool art. And then it's like halfway through where I was like, shoot, this is definitely like telling a story. But I'm not paying attention. I was just like looking at the art for art.
Yeah.
Not trying to piece things together. So I feel like if I watched it again, I would be looking for things I recognize now.
I know there's a lot of fan theories that people have put out there about like what's happening here. And a lot of it seems to be rooted in mythology that I don't know anything about. So I think there's a lot of world building left to happen. And it'll make more sense when we've seen all the movies, which I just hope they can make it. Because
how many? I know.
They've confirmed five. So at least four more.
Ooh. Okay. Yep.
Back to the plot. So after this sequence, Chandra arrives in a city that's not Bengaluru, even though it's apparently a lot like Bengaluru. And Prakash picks her up at the airport and brings her to get a new passport and all new identification. At this underground shop where they're doing this, she finds a book entitled They Live Among Us. And the man at the shop says that this book is incredibly detailed about whoever they are.
Yeah.
Prakash then drops Chandra off at her dusty apartment where we see her tidy up and then open a hidden closet with a bunch of centuries-old artifacts.
Yeah. I was like, nothing weird here.
No, definitely not. Just totally casual.
Yeah.
She starts putting newspaper up over the windows. Also totally casual. Not weird at all.
I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I didn't flag any of it. I was just like, okay, she is like an operative for some sort of, you know, elite something something. And she probably has some kind of superhuman powers, but nothing like crazy. Like she's kind of more like a, you know, kind of like a Captain America type where she was probably just like enhanced.
Yes. Okay. I see that.
That was where I was operating from.
Yeah.
A while.
I think I knew that she was immortal. I think I accidentally watched an interview before the movie came out that told me some things. So I think I knew that she was immortal, but definitely the vampire thing was a surprise.
Well, and now that the whole song of like Queen of the Night. That's
very true.
It was like literally, I tell you, it was not until the party happened. And I was like, I haven't seen her eat. And then I thought, is she a zombie? That's crazy.
Anyway. I love that your mind went to zombie.
Yep, it went to zombie before it went to vampire, I'll tell you that.
Oh, that's very funny. But so, okay, she's putting newspaper up on her windows, and as she's doing this, she locks eyes with a man across the street in the building next mm-hmm. door. And this man is Sunny, and he smiles at Chandra, and she turns away. And so then we shift our attention to Sunny, and we learn that he is kind of an underachieving young man who does not a whole lot of anything other than get drunk with his friends. And we do see his ex-girlfriend drop off their cat for him to take care of. And yeah. The cat's important. His name's Django. That's great. And also, the actor who plays his girlfriend is Anna Benn, who was in Kalki. She was the one who died in the really stupid way, like the lucky.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also just love Sunny and his friends and how much they love each other.
Yeah. I do have a soft spot in my heart for, like, younger men who are, like, kind of goofballs like this, where it's, like, I kind of feel like they're my little brother, and I'm like, I just want to take you under my wing.
Yeah. Also, Venus t-shirts are so good.
Yes, and often plot relevant, which I appreciate.
Yes. Yes. I only noticed two of them, so I'm hoping that if there were others, I would catch them in a rewatch. But I particularly liked his last t-shirt that he was wearing.
Yes, that was the one that I was thinking of as being plot relevant. But so then we get a montage of Sunny and his friends. So yeah, it's Venu and Nigel, and they're just being youths. And then there's also just a guy who, like, now he just kind of lives in their apartment.
Yeah, I thought that guy was dead.
Luckily,
you know, he had
his
sunglasses on inside.
Yeah, he did look dead. Yeah, but no, he's alive and not exactly kicking, but he's having a great time.
Uh-huh.
Also in this montage, we see Chandra get a job, and she's working the night shift at a restaurant. So one night, Sunny and his friends are walking home from the Holy Grail Cafe, which we'll find out more about later. And they're too busy trying to recreate the shoe tying trick they saw a street performer do once to notice a man get straight up kidnapped behind them.
I love this level of shenanigans. So good. They're just like, la, la, la. Meanwhile, someone's, like, gonna get their organs harvested.
Yeah, because then we just, it's very well done. Like, the camera pans to a headline about organ trafficking running rampant in this city. Also, the rickshaw that the guy who's getting kidnapped gets loaded into has Gabbar Singh on the back, which...
Oh.
Yes. And
yeah,
I really like that. I'm going to talk about that more when our villain shows up. But yeah, so organ trafficking, running rampant. Soon after this, Sunny almost gets hit by a car as he is bringing his cat in because his cat's always running away.
Mm-hmm.
And while his friend Venu insists that he just jumped out of the way of this car to save himself, Sunny is sure that Chandra actually ran at seemingly the speed of light to push him out of the way, but no one else saw her.
I do have a question, and it's that in the beginning of the movie when she's running away, it doesn't look like she's using her super speed.
Maybe she, like, only has a certain amount. She's like a cheetah.
Maybe.
You know,
it's gotta recharge.
Yeah.
She can only use it once per short rest or
something. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or she must have, you know, maybe she had just had a bag of blood right before this, or she was like peak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I accept that.
Then this is where we meet our villain, Nachiappa, who is a super creepy cop who hates women, including his female superior officer at work.
I, again, just love that I think in some movies they'd be like, that guy hates women. But it's very clear he hates women just by his bearing.
Right. So. Yes, you just know. And I think, like, the way that he talks to the woman in the scene, like, it's the kind of thing where, like, it's not subtle exactly, but it's also the kind of thing where I feel like if you're a woman watching that, that's like a visceral. The minute he walks out of that car that that is not a cop that you trust. It's
that scene is both amazing and awful.
Yeah.
Because the scariness of the rickshaw behind her, I think we've all felt that way at some point, even if it wasn't actually, you know,
being
followed. We're just kind of on high alert for scary situations. And then, the safety of a police car, like, okay, great. And then suddenly, oh, wait, no, this isn't safe, nope. actually.
Yep.
The up and down of that, I was like, oh, yeah. that's real.
Yes. Yeah. And then it happens kind of again because she goes away in the female superior officer's car, but we know that she's part of the Oregon Mafia right. too. So, like,
yes.
so that woman probably is dead.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say that I feel like this villain, Nachiappa, is a great villain. He's pure evil, which usually I'm critical of with villains. But they do it in such a way, and his performance is so good that it feels like new and different and scary mm-hmm. in a way that is like just really effective, which is also yeah. how I feel about Gabbar Singh. And I can't help but feel like that's, I know that he's not associated specifically with Nachiappa, but to like see that visual and then meet that yes. villain, I don't know, I feel that.
Mm, I like that. I mean, I also think that his evilness, It is easily believed that he could have been raised in a world in which he decided that women were the enemy.
Yep.
However that came to be.
Yeah.
And that's where his villainy is rooted. And I think that that's very believable. You know, I think we see that happening in different times and places around the world. But
absolutely. Yeah.
Because he's not going out and like kicking puppies.
Right, right.
He might kick puppies, but we don't see it. And it does, like, because all of the acts of violence that we see tend to be more relating back to his deep hatred of women, like, it's believable and it's terrifying.
Yes. I'm really glad that you said that, because you've put your finger on something that I wasn't really able to articulate, which is that he is a real person. He's a yep. real person who you would meet in the world. And that's what makes him mm-hmm. so scary.
And his music.
And his music also makes him scary. His music is great. I kind of really love his music.
Darner. Yeah.
Darner. I feel like he is an example, too, of the fact that they give you just enough information. Like, there's a lot that happens in this movie, and it's not that long. 2.5 hours. Like, they pack right. a lot into 2.5 hours. They give you just enough of, like, his background and his, like, his father, that it establishes his character. And you understand completely, like, why he is the way he is, but without going too overboard with it in a way that's really mm-hmm. heavy-handed. And I just really respect that storytelling.
Yeah.
Back to the plot. So Chandra is leaving work one night when she sees her coworker getting harassed by a man named Sundar. And Sundar claims that he loves this woman, but don't worry, he says he's not crazy. Chandra is trying to ignore this altercation. She's trying to keep a low profile, but then she hears Sundar open a bottle of presumably acid.
Mm-hmm.
Chandra suddenly appears next to Sundar and slams his hand against a wall, smashing the glass and the contents of this jar into his palm.
Yeah.
She proceeds to handily beat the crap out of him and then makes him apologize to the coworker. And she tells her coworker that she didn't see anything.
Yeah.
And then we learn that Nachiappa, surprise, is a dirty cop, and he is working for the Oregon Mafia, and Sundar is also here. He's with the Oregon Mafia, and his older mm-hmm. brother, Gajendran, is the kingpin of this whole organization.
Yeah.
And we already said this, too, that his boss is a part of it as well. Everyone's in the Oregon Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
Nachiappa teases Sundar for getting beaten up by a girl, and when Sundar suggests that she could also beat up Nachiappa, Nachiappa makes Sundar come with him to identify Chandra. So he now knows who beat up Sundar.
Yeah.
Chandra and Sunny then end up in a rickshaw together, and Sunny's been crushing on Chandra from afar, yeah. and he works up the courage to invite her to a party that he and his friends are throwing.
He's so cute.
He's really adorable, yes.
Yeah.
And so Chandra shows up at this party. She's looking gorgeous in a white dress, and everyone is, like, stunned by her beauty, except for the cat, Django, who hisses at mm-hmm. her repeatedly. Each of the boys takes a turn trying to chat Chandra up at this party, but she remains aloof.
I just remembered one thing. This is when I started to think she was a zombie or uh-huh. a mummy, because as anyone who has seen the movie The Mummy knows,
yes,
cats terrify mummies.
That's a really good
thought. And they hate each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so then the cops show up at this party, and Nachiappa is one of the cops who's there, and he's giving everyone a hard time, and in particular when he notices that Chandra is there. And so he starts, like, really going after this one woman who's clearly got something in her pocket. This, again, is, like, a visceral moment. So he's just trying to scare Chandra, though, and he asks her what her name is, and she says Chandra, and then they leave. But this has pretty much killed the vibe at the party. And so Chandra tells Sunny that she's leaving, but she also tells him that she had a nice time, which is nice. She might be the only one, but that's fine. Sunny's friend Nigel follows Chandra out, and Sunny watches from the balcony as Chandra seemingly welcomes Nigel into her apartment and shuts the blinds. So he's not thrilled about that. But the next morning, no one knows where Nigel is, and Bennu suggests he might still be over at Chandra's, and so Sunny goes and knocks on Chandra's door, and he hears a commotion inside, but then Chandra yells at him in a weird, spooky voice to go away.
Yeah.
And then as Sunny's leaving, he sees someone with a weird cooler bring the weird cooler to Chandra's door. And then he finds out from Venu that the delivery driver has a criminal record. And so Sunny starts to suspect that Chandra has something to do with the organ mafia.
You know, that's not a bad assumption.
It's really not. Yeah. The coolers, who knows what's in there.
And this is when I realized, she's a vampire.
Yeah. Sunny tells Venu his suspicions, and he decides that he's going to follow Chandra, and he tells Venu to go and check her apartment while she's out. And so Sunny leaves to follow Chandra. Nigel just shows up. Nigel gets dropped off by the cops. He's fine. He spent the night in prison.
He's totally fine. Yeah.
But so as Chandra is walking down an alley, she passes Sundar's rickshaw, and he injects her with something and hits her over the head with a brick, and they drive off with her.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunny sees this happen, and so does another guy, but that guy does nothing, and so Sunny chases after the rickshaw.
Sunny's, like, really brave. He's just a normal, kind of deadbeat guy.
He wants to try. Yeah. He doesn't want the woman who lives across the street who might have killed his friend to get kidnapped.
And he also saw, like, three men wrestle her into a rickshaw.
Yeah.
And he just ran after them.
He did. That's very brave. Maybe a little stupid, but also very brave.
Yes.
Meanwhile, in another part of the city, a little girl asks her grandfather to tell her the Yakshi story.
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa tells her that once, instead of a bustling city, there was an ancient forest here with a king who had a sacred temple to Kali. And I didn't know this from watching the movie, but I've learned from Wikipedia that and also IMDb, that the actor who plays Gajendran, who we will see later, also plays the king in this story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because I was like, this guy looks like one of the other guys who pops up later in the movie. And so then I was like, is he also a vampire? Like,
I don't know if he is like...
Is it just what he represents?
Yeah, does he have the memory? Or is it... reincarnation could easily exist in this universe. Like, so maybe that's what we're doing here. We'll find out someday, I hope.
Yeah.
Also in this forest, there lived a curious young girl. And one day, she and her friends decided to sneak into the sacred temple. The girl picks up a bead from the altar, but just then, one of the king's men sees them. And the children run away, and the girl accidentally steals this bead.
Yeah.
And when the king finds out, he orders his men to kill all the children and their families.
What an unhinged reaction.
Yeah.
These are kids.
Yeah.
Did it ever occur to him just to be like, hey, that's not yours. I'm going to take it back from my deity. Don't do that again.
Yeah. Done. Job done.
No, I'm going to murder your whole village.
Yeah. You would be a much more benevolent king than this one.
Yeah.
But so the hunted families take shelter in a cave. And as she explores the cave, the little girl comes across a mysterious statue that looks a lot like the beings that we see in the opening animation.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets bitten by a bat. Lots of them. There's lots of bats.
Lots.
We cut back to the present and Chandra wakes up to Sundar stabbing a dog because he's just a bad person.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I had to go hug Bachi.
Yeah, that's very fair. Yes. There is another dog who does not get stabbed, and he's just watching all this go down, and he's only got three legs. He'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
In the story, the little girl emerges from the cave to find that her family are under attack from the king's soldiers. So she goes to them, and she sees them stab her father to death. She tries to push past the soldiers to get to him and to her mother, but the soldiers run her through with a spear. This is, like...
graphic.
It's so graphic, and also just, like, oh my god, the impact. Like, ugh! I just...
yeah.
It, like, gives me chills just, like, thinking about it.
Yeah.
In the present, Sundar grabs Chandra by the throat and tells her she has no idea who she's dealing with. But then she grabs him back and sinks her fangs, because she's got fangs now, into his throat.
Mm-hmm.
So, vampire.
I really appreciate, you know, we see media represent vampires in various ways. Mm-hmm. And I like that these vampires are, like, it's more of subtle. Like, yes. I feel like it's more of what an actual vampire would be like. Like, they wouldn't just be like, you know, it'd just be like, yeah, I got big canines sucking your blood and yep. Now you're dead.
Yep. Oops. So in the story, the girl rises to her feet, the spear in her hand, with not a mark on her body, and she just starts killing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of all of this, one of the soldiers stabs her mother in the neck, but she kills him too. So that's good.
Yeah.
Instant revenge. Yeah. In the present, Chandra kills Sundar and the guys who are with him, and then she sees Sunny just standing there watching this happen, and then he just passes out, which is fair.
Yeah. He's a fainty boy.
He is a fainty boy. He's delicate. In the story, the little girl holds her mother as she dies, and her mother says God has chosen her to help the helpless, and she advises the girl to only wield her power when it's right. Her mother tells her to flee, and so she runs into the wilderness. And when the king asks the village people, who did this? They tell him it was Kalyankatu Neeli.
Yeah.
And so the grandfather tells the story that Neeli grows into a young woman and over time develops a sensitivity to sunlight. And she lives for centuries and everyone she loves dies, which is sad. Starting with her sweet, sweet dog.
Yeah.
Is the first one to go. But each time she goes to a new land, she seeks out the evil people there and drains their blood. To the forest people, she was a goddess, but to everyone else, she was a yakshi. The granddaughter asks the grandfather how he knows all of this, and he says that he got the stories from a book written by a priest. And he also tells the girl that the priest learned Neely's weakness and sought her out to vanquish her. And we see mm-hmm. Neeli get stabbed in the chest by this mysterious priest. But yeah. Also Neeli is Chandra, in case that wasn't clear. So
yes.
We know she gets better.
She got better.
She got better. Sorry. I just was like, remember, because I was like, I feel like there's a reference in there somewhere, and then you got it and it just made me happy. you knew. So the grandfather puts his granddaughter to bed, hooked up to some kind of like life support technology. She's ill in some way. And we see that he is in fact the author of the book They Live Among Us.
Yes.
And we end Act 1 with an epic shot of Chandra looking out over the city like a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunny wakes up in the rickshaw, surrounded by dead bodies, and Chandra tells him he can either help her dispose of the bodies or essentially become one himself. So he helps Chandra drag these bodies to the top of this, like, chemical plant. They push them in. They get dissolved in the chemicals. She easily could have done this herself, but I appreciate that she made Sunny help.
I also feel like it was partially to keep him accountable, because now he is complicit.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But also, how convenient for a city serial killers that there's just, like, a vat of acid.
Yeah. I feel like that must be, you know, that's, like, how high up the conspiracy goes. Like, the city planner is, like, and then conveniently the vat of acid where the organ mafia can dispose of their victims.
Yes.
But so Sunny asks Chandra if she really saved him from getting hit by the car, and she says yes, and he asks if she's a yakshi, and when she says yes again, he passes out for a second time.
I mean, like, the answer really surprised
him. Right. He wakes up in Chandra's apartment, and she is also asleep there, and he tries to sneak out, but the door is padlocked. He pulls some of the newspaper off one of the windows and tries to get Venu's attention, but the sun burns Chandra, which wakes her up.
Mm-hmm.
Sunny apologizes, but Chandra drinks some blood and heals before his very eyes.
Oh, man.
And she explains that she has a virus and it is contagious if she bites him. Sunny asks why she came here, and she explains she's spent centuries moving from place to place, never spending more than 20 years in one location. Chandra then asks Sunny why he followed her, and he awkwardly admits he was trying to save her, to which she replies, me.
Aw, but he, you know, he didn't know.
Well, and this is the moment that Dominic Arun, like, called attention to in an interview, and, like, having Santi Balachandran's, like, feminine angle. Because to him, he was like, oh, yeah, this is just comedy. And she's like, no, this is what men do. They think they need to protect women. Yeah. And that's not what women want from them in 100% of situations. And And she just put this sort of slightly darker angle to it where it's like, it is funny. It's funny that she's like, yeah, no, you couldn't save me. But then it's also like, you don't need to be saving anybody. Except
that's true.
Except when you know that someone needs saving.
Well, I was going to say, but at the same time, if I were being like pulled into a rickshaw by three men and I was unconscious,
I would hope someone would come after me. Yes, I would hope anyone would do something about that if it were witnessed. And also, I would hope that they didn't do something stupid that would get them killed themselves.
That's also true.
And I would also hope that if I were in a situation where I didn't need saving, that nobody would be interfering. So that's that's the complexity of the whole situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Venu shows up at Chandra's apartment, and he's there to bring Sunny home, and he notices an old picture tucked into Chandra's copy of They Live Among Us, but Chandra snatches it out of his hands before he or we can get a good look at it.
Mm-hmm.
As the boys are leaving, Chandra grabs Sunny's arm, and I love Sunny grabs Venu's arm like, you can't leave either.
Yeah.
And Chandra tells Sunny that she trusts him. Sunny says he's scared, and she says the only thing that he has to be scared of is her.
True.
Yeah. Sunny then has a nightmare that he tells Venu about Chandra being a Yakshi, and Chandra then kills Venu, and when Sunny runs from her, she appears before him in all her vampiric glory floating beside the moon. But this is all a dream, and when Sunny wakes up, Venu asks him what's wrong, and he says nothing.
Also, just have to call attention to Venu's shirt in this scene.
Uh-huh.
It says Pluto, never forget, 1930 to 2006. Because he likes stars and planets and stuff.
Yeah, I do remember that one. I remember thinking that that's a shirt that I would actually really like to have.
Yes.
especially for the repeat psych reference of, you heard about Pluto? That's messed up, right? For any of you psychos out there. So, meanwhile, Nachiappa and some other cops are investigating the scene where they found the Organ Mafia rickshaw, and in the rickshaw, he finds one of Chandra's brown contact lenses. And later, we see that he talks to the witness, who also saw Chandra get loaded into the rickshaw. This guy is also a part of the Organ Mafia. And so he's...
Who isn't?
Everyone is. And so he is able to identify Sunny, and then Nachiappa sees Sunny with Chandra, so it's all coming together for Nachiappa. At the same time that this is happening, Sunny sees a newspaper report about the men that Chandra killed, but she reassures him that without a body, the case won't go anywhere. While Sunny and Chandra are out together, Nachiappa sneaks into Chandra's apartment and sees that she's missing a matching brown contact lens and that her fridge is full of blood, which is not that
pretty
normal.
Damning.
Yeah. As that's happening, Sunny and Chandra are together chatting, and Sunny asks Chandra her real name, and she says Neely. And he is shocked by this because he thought that a priest killed Neely. But Chandra explains that the priest healed her after killing her, and he just wanted people to think she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
This priest tells Neely that there are others like her, not of this world, some of whom are dangerous. He says he is a human, so he can't fight them alone, and he needs her help to capture two of them. He says one is a Chatan, and he'll explain the rest after she meets Mutan, the elder.
Mm-hmm.
So more backstory. Yay. In the present, Chandra tells Sunny... I'm going to keep calling Chandra. I know she's Neely, but I'm also going to keep calling her Chandra.
I mean, the movie's called Chandra.
Chandra. So. Yeah, chapter one, Chandra. Yeah.
At least until the end.
Yeah. So in the present, Chandra tells Sunny that many so-called myths and legends are actually real. Nachiappa finds more Yakshi evidence at Chandra's apartment, but when she gets home, she can sense that he's in there. And mm-hmm. so she sneaks into the apartment through the window like a dang ghost, and she's like very creepily lurking in the shadows. Like, this shot is so good. And Nachiappa sees her and tells her she has no idea who she's messing with, and now she and her little sidekick are dead. But then she attacks him, and she bites his arm!
Yeah.
But Sunny begs Chandra not to kill Nachiappa because he's a cop, and then he tells her that she should leave and go to her next place. Mm. Nachiappa uses this distraction to shoot his gun at them, misses Chandra, and shoots poor Sunny instead.
Yeah.
Nigel and Venu are also here. I forget why they're here.
But they are, yeah. I don't know why.
The commotion, I guess.
They're supporting their guys.
Yeah, yeah. So they run to Sunny's side, and Nachiappa jumps out this like, third story window.
Which is a wild choice. Yeah. Like, I don't know what he thought would happen.
It doesn't look great. He is okay, but he's not awesome. But yeah, so he gets away. So Chandra brings Sunny and the boys to a dilapidated old clinic called Michael's Health Center. Venu asks why Chandra brought them here, but then they see on the news that Chandra and Sunny are suspected terrorists.
Yeah.
Chandra says that there's nowhere else that they can go, and Venu needs to use his largely inadequate medical training to save Sunny's life.
Yeah, because he's also scared of blood.
Yeah, which isn't a great quality in a doctor. Chandra ends up having to threaten Venu by flashing her fangs to get him to do what she wants. She then calls Prakash, who scolds her for how she handled the situation, and he says that Mutan isn't happy, and she needs to get to Johnny's place. Now, did you see who Mutan is, the actor?
No.
Okay, because it was an IMDb, and then I think they got rid of it. It's Mamuti.
Fun.
But they have also said in interviews that he's not like 100% committed to playing the role. So like,
So
he was like, I'll do the one word. I'll say the one word in your movie. But like, I don't know if I'm going to be Mutan. And I was just thinking how funny that is compared to like Shah Rukh Khan.
Right.
Whose like production company produced his son's debut TV show. And Mamuti's like, I don't know if I want to be in my son's superhero movie.
It's like, I'm your dad, but...
I'm not going to make it easy for you. But I respect that in a way. So anyway, we then see a man in a bar watching the news report about Sunny and Chandra. And he overhears another man saying that he just dropped Sunny and Chandra at this clinic in his rickshaw. This man says, Neely. And he finishes his drink, picks up a set of keys with a little red demon on them. And then it's just Cameo City. We just had Mamuti. That was Tovi.
Love it.
And we see several other actors responding to the news report about Sunny and Chandra, including this is where Santi Balachandran has her cameo. So she is a part of this universe as well. So that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
We also see Johnny. Johnny's come up before. I don't think I've mentioned him in the recap, but he's been around.
He kept coming up, yeah.
Yeah, Johnny is supporting of this as well. And he is at his cafe, and there are two men who are waiting for somebody. And he reassures these men that the somebody that they're waiting for will be here soon.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we see a politician ask the head of the organ mafia, Gajendran, if he should send in the Garuda force. Gajendran tells the politician to have the force aim for Chandra's heart and the back of her head. And then he also says he has to speak to Nachiappa. Yeah. Now, I am under the impression that this is Gajendran. We do then turn to the politician's phone, and it looks like he is getting a call from Gajendran.
Right. That's what confused me.
It confuses me, too. So I don't know fully, but I'm pretty sure because this guy is credited as playing both the king and Gajendran. So I think that's who that was. So anyway, Nachiappa is in the hospital, and we see that his senses are very heightened, and he's also craving blood. So that's not great.
Weird.
Weird. His superior officer tells him that he's suspended and also says that Gajendran will handle things from here on out because this is a job that needs a real man. And then Arthur Grandpa shows up at the hospital and tells Nachiappa that he's taking some of his blood and that there's no cure for Neely's virus. So he's got his own plans.
I know. I'm like, where does Grandpa fit into all of this? Because I'm sure he's probably kind of like a good actor in the sense that he's just trying to save his granddaughter from whatever illness she has.
Right.
But I'm interested to see, like, is he working with someone larger than himself?
Right.
So which faction? I'm intrigued.
I am too. I look forward to, seeing how his story weaves more into the other characters' stories.
Mm-hmm.
But so back at the clinic, Chandra tells Sunny that she has to leave and he should go to the media and say that he had nothing to do with any of this. Sunny asks what would happen if she bit him, and she says he'd only become like her if his blood was pure. Otherwise, he'd die a painful, rabies-like death. Meanwhile, we see Nachiappa in pain, coughing up teeth.
Yeah.
So I assumed he was dying. I think the movie did a really good job of kind of like throwing you back and forth of like you don't know exactly what's happening with him. By the morning, the cops know that Chandra and Sunny are at this clinic, and so two of them go in, and one of them does manage to shoot Chandra in the back of the head. She's down.
Yeah.
Then a mischievous theme plays, and we see the man from the bar peering at the cops from behind a wall. This is Michael, the Chetan. Michael confuses the cop who shot Chandra by running around all over the place and then snatches his gun out of his hand and turns it into a flower, which he blows in the cop's face so the cop hallucinates that he's trapped in a room full of mirrors and can't escape.
I love this, and it feels like the perfect role for Toby.
I love it too, and I think he does such a good job with it because it's like, it's so silly, but he still manages to make it seem cool and intimidating. Like,
right.
Yeah, I'm very impressed.
Well, and I just always love a trickster.
Yeah.
You know, in any universe, in any media, a Loki type.
Yes.
A Chatan type. It's fun.
It's very fun. But so the other cop is just seeing the first guy like wandering around and screaming. And so Michael sneaks up on this cop and shoots bubbles at him. The cop then throws a scalpel at Michael, but Michael counters with a playing card that knocks the scalpel back and stabs the cop in his femoral artery. Michael tells the cop to go to the hospital and then heads to help Chandra.
I also appreciate that he's like, I don't need to enact my own violence. I'll just, if you use violence against me, it will be turned back on to you.
Yes, I appreciate that as well. But so Michael pulls the bullet from the back of Chandra's head and wakes her up by whispering her name. She wakes up and grabs him by the throat, but then he says, "Hi, I missed you." Michael and Chandra then sense Nachiappa outside, and Nachiappa hears them inside saying that they have to leave. And so we see Chandra and Michael and the boys drive off in Michael's car, and Chandra says Nachiappa is becoming like her. Oops. Mm-hmm. So Michael takes them to the Holy Grail Cafe, which is Johnny's place. And Michael is whistling a song as they walk in, and apparently it's a reference to an old Malayalam language film about Chatans. So I thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah. Fun.
But so the boys wonder who Michael is, and he whooshes over to their table and says, "I'm a god, dude." I really enjoy Michael. I mean,
who wouldn't? I wish we'd gotten more of him, actually. I know we will.
Yes, we definitely will. But so Chandra calls Prakash and tells him about Nachiappa. And Nachiappa warns her that he will be a fresh convert and too powerful for her. He says Mutan will handle it and she needs to leave town immediately. So Johnny leads everyone down into the basement of the cafe so Chandra can wait for her new passport. And Johnny hands her an old key that says Neely on it. And then we see Johnny's the descendant of the priest, so that's great.
Yes.
As they walk through the basement, there is clearly very recently an altercation down here, and Nigel sees a man sitting alone in one of the rooms. All we see is this man's eye and the back of his head, which is enough to know that the shape of Dulquer Salmaan's head. But then Michael pulls Nigel away. Michael tells Chandra that he and Charlie are leaving for a babysitting assignment, but if she asks him to, he'll stay. She says no, then slaps him as he leans in for a kiss. Michael gives the boys the keys to his car and tells them to stay away from Chandra, particularly Sunny. Then he claps his hands, the lights flicker, and he disappears. Meanwhile, Nachiappa has killed the cops at the clinic. He is fully a vampire now. Yakshi, I should say. And then he goes home and tells his mom that his superior officer tried to kill him, but she couldn't. The bullets just went right through. Well, I mean, they went right through him, but then he healed, so he's fine.
Yeah.
Bullets often go right through people. But he killed her. Great. And he says that he has nothing to fear because nothing can kill him, and everyone should fear him. And fear is the foundation of respect and devotion. So basically, he's God, is his reasoning.
Yeah, I also just like the increasing concern on his mother's face.
Yeah.
She's listening to this. Yeah, she's like, oh,
what's
no.
happening? Yeah. And then he kills his mom, just like Spike did in Buffy. So, you know, sometimes a vampire's got to kill their mom, apparently. So back at the cafe, Chandra shows Sunny the old picture from the book and says that it's a picture of her boyfriend from 1905, and he looks just like Sunny. And she says that she loved him, but another man like Nachiappa, a British army officer, tried to shoot her, and her love stepped in front of her and died instead. Mm. And she says that this guilt still haunts her, and Sunny squeezes her hand. Very sweet.
Yeah.
Johnny then tells Chandra that the situation has gotten more complicated. they have learned that she killed Gajendran's brother, and he's having this anti-terrorist Garuda task force come to kill them all.
Right.
So the force arrives, like, basically at that moment, so Chandra arms herself and tells the boys to stay hidden no matter what. The force throws a smoke grenade into the cafe, but this just serves to make Chandra look cooler than she already did. They open fire, but she dodges their bullets and takes them out one by one. When they're all down, the boys come up, but then Gajendran's men come in and they shoot Chandra, like, a lot. She falls to the ground and tells Sunny to run, which he does, but then he returns to slide a packet of blood across the floor to her. He distracts the men long enough that she has time to drink it and heals and gets back in the game. So finally, Nachiappa comes in and he demands to be taken to their leader. Chandra runs at him with a knife, but he is too powerful and ultimately he takes her down. He drags her to a window and is burning her in the sunlight. He tells her he always knew he was destined to forge his own empire and he'll annihilate anyone who gets in his way.
Ugh.
Yeah, he's gross.
Just classic, like, toxic
masculinity
stuff.
Yeah, just chill, bro. Just have a cool, fun life as a Yakshi now.
Seriously.
But so then Sunny shoots him, and I did appreciate that we established early in the movie that Sunny is a good shot, and Nachiappa goes down. So Sunny helps Chandra to her feet, but then Nachiappa disappears and reappears with a knife at Nigel's throat. The knife. The knife that...
The knife.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chandra says that her people are coming to kill him, and that even though he's one of them, he deserves to die. Nachiappa pushes Nigel aside and lunges at Chandra with the knife, but then Sunny steps in front of her. But then Venu steps in front of Sunny. But
it's just a chain of selfless actions.
It really is. But Venu is turned the other way, so when the knife stabs him, it does not stab him in the heart.
Yes, which is good.
That is definitely good. Chandra grabs the knife from Venu's back and stabs Nachiappa in the heart, and then pulls the handle free from the blade, which stays lodged in his chest.
Mm-hmm.
We see Johnny, Chandra, and Prakash put Nachiappa's body into a drawer. And there's a lot of similar drawers around this drawer, so stuff's going on there. Outside the cafe, Sunny asks Chandra if he can call her, but she says he can't. And they hug, and she says she'll miss him and that he's a good person. And then Venu pops up from the back of the car and is like, can someone please take me to the hospital? So the boys drive off in Michael's car together. Chandra watches them go with tears in her eyes, and we see the blood moon as the credits start to roll.
Start, yes.
But we only get through the first few cast members before we get a mid-credit scene. We're back in the bar, or in the cafe, where Johnny told the two men that someone was coming to meet them. And he leads these men into the basement, where we first see the three-legged dog, and then a hooded man appears behind the dog, and he draws two katanas from their sheaths on his back.
And so cool.
Yeah, just takes him down.
Oh, yeah.
Just like in his little sneakers.
I love two sworded people. Like,
like, what's her name? Michonne? Is that her name? And,
oh,
yeah.
Yes.
She's a,
also Deadpool.
Also, yeah, it's a good move. Two swords. Yeah. Better than one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So as one of these men lays dying, he asks who this hooded man is. The man pulls down his face covering and says, "Your nemesis." And then he looks right at the camera and we flash to the credits.
It's awesome.
And then we get a post-credit scene where this made me laugh out loud. This is like my favorite thing in this movie, is that we set up the lace thing at the start, and it turns out that Michael was the street performer who tied his shoelaces with magic. And that just is amazing. It's that kind of thing that makes this movie so good.
Yeah. The humor, again, it's like the perfect doses of humor throughout.
Yes.
It's never campy. It's never kitschy. It's never like over the top or like, why is this here? It's always perfectly placed.
Right. It's just enough to make the rest of the movie palatable and not like super dark. Like, it's perfect. But so Michael is meeting with a man at a bar. And this man tells him that a bunch of archaeologists went missing while exploring the world's deepest cave. And one of their cameras captured a picture of a wild-looking man. And this man asks Michael if he's the man in the picture. But Michael says he has 389 siblings who look exactly like him. And we cut to the words, "The Chattans are coming."
Yeah.
And while it's not technically a part of the movie, let's just quickly recap.
Yes,
the
additional scene.
Yes, when legends chill. Every part of this is worth talking about, but the only plot relevant thing that I'll mention is that Michael tells Charlie, who's Dulker Salmon, like,
Yeah.
Anytime Dulker Salmon is playing a character named Charlie, I know I'm in for a good time. But so, Michael says that his brother is back in action, and he asks Charlie if he'll help. Charlie says, "Call him and they'll see." But then we cut to the words, "He will come. The Chattans will bring him." Yeah.
And we also get to see, like, hear Chattan talk about, like, "Oh yeah, like my big brother, he's pretty powerful and he's not as nice as I am, but like, I'm not scared. I am so excited." And I kind of wonder if they all look alike. Are we setting ourselves up for, like, a Tovey double role situation?
I definitely think we are, because I think it's, like, it's supposed to be him in the animation and everything. Right. So I think we've got a double, if not a more than that, situation here with these guys.
Which is really fun.
Yeah, 340 Toveys.
There's going to be a lot of things that are fun for them to, like, explore with that too, because it's like, okay, is this 390 different iterations of the same being?
Right.
Yeah.
Or is there like different, like how are they different? That's right. It's 390, not 340.
And that's not necessarily something that they'll explain, like the physics of it.
Right.
Sure. But I always find that very intriguing, because a lot of the times, like the trickster gods and stuff, they do have like multiple personalities, but also multiple physical versions of themselves, because they like manifest that in illusions. And then it's like, what's real? What's not real?
And, yeah. Like, we see him do that in the clinic, and it's like, okay, is this part of that? Or is this just like an extra trick that he does? And there are probably people who know more about this myth who maybe know the answers to these questions, but we don't. And that's fun.
Yeah.
This movie is awesome. I did want to say, Kalyani Priyadarshan has confirmed that she is in more of the movies.
Good.
I don't remember if she said specifically she's going to be in the next one, but I think probably yes, because we know that, like, she helps the priest recruit Michael.
Right.
So, like, I think probably yes.
And my hope is that her role in future films would go beyond just, like, a scene.
Yes.
Beyond a typical cameo. Like, it does feel like she might be more of a part in certain ones than others. And
I hope that that's really what they're doing, is they're like, you know, there's maybe one featured superhero, but they're kind of like weaving things in and out. And some of the people who we just saw for like a shot in this movie, maybe we'll have like a Tovey sized cameo in the next one, and then have their own movie, you know, like I think that's really cool. And it's something that the filmmakers talked about, how, like, in Malayalam film, there is a lot more of this, like, interweaving, and people are, like, always really excited to be a part of each other's projects. And DQ said in an interview with Anupama Chopra, "I think we all have FOMO. Like, we all just, like, want to be a part of what everyone's doing."
That's so sweet, though.
Yeah. And also, to me, it's, like, it's so different from, like, the egotism of Hindi films. I'm not saying, like, Hindi actors, but of, like, the way that the industry is set up, where it's, like, you've got one superstar and that's it.
Right.
And you're lucky that you got the one superstar. You know, it's, like,
I
like the idea of people wanting to work with each other.
I agree with that. And I also was thinking about, this film has now jumped to my list that's pretty short, as far as like, oh, I could use this film as an introduction to a person to like South Asian cinema.
Right.
And I love that. I think it's just such a good representation of a superhero movie.
Yeah.
regardless of language or, you exactly. know, film industry. It's yeah. so good. And it's certainly better than any Hindi superhero film.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the only other Indian superhero movie that is even close to being as good as this is Manal Murali.
Yeah.
I love that Tovi is now yeah. a part of two superhero franchises. That's great.
Right.
It's a great movie. And one I and would I tell people to watch too who are like interested.
Right. I kind of hope that we see it come over to the States.
Yeah.
Whenever that happens is fine.
Talking about just like the philosophy of the filmmakers, because again, like just mm-hmm. hearing them talk about it, and it's this, I'm going to relate this back to what you were just saying in a second, but like Dominic Aaron talking about how excited he is that people are going to see it multiple times, and they're like picking up on the yeah. references that he sprinkled through. And in that same interview with Anupama Chopra, she asks DQ, like, they came to you as a producer with this idea for a movie and you being a part of it, like, why didn't you start with your own movie? And he was like, really, produce my own superhero movie? Like, doesn't that seem a little vain?
yeah
And I love that so much. And he's, and like apparently it was even a lot for them to convince him to like do this much of a cameo in this movie. One of the commentators who I watched was talking about how they're like so strategic about where they use visual effects, and they have to be,
yes,
because they were doing this like smaller budget film. So, like, it ends up being that the effects are what visual effects are supposed to be. Like, we were talking about this with War last right. week, that it's so obvious that it's fake.
Right.
They have to use visual effects in the way that they were meant to be used, where they're kind of hidden away, and you yeah. don't necessarily notice them.
That reminds me, in that final battle between Chandra and Nachiappa, there's a significant, like, a 20-second segment where Sunny is kind of like, what's happening? And you hear the fight happening
yeah.
behind a wall. And I was like, I love this choice.
Yes.
It's so cool.
It's such a clever way for them to have not had to spend money on yes. stunt doubles. And even, like, the opening, the animation, it's like they didn't have to, like, have actors do that whole thing right. with, like, special effects. They just did the art, and the art is beautiful. And DQ has said that he was prepared to lose money on this film, but he was like, I'm going to give you as yeah. much as you need to tell the story the way you want to tell it. And if we lose money, we lose money. We'll make it up with the later movies. But like,
right.
tell this story, tell it with the woman and in the center of it. And it ended yeah. up being this hugely successful movie. And I admire that so much.
It's incredible. Yeah. They were clever about it yeah. instead of just throwing money at it.
Yes. Yes.
Because they didn't have that option. And, you know, maybe if they even had that option, they would still not choose it. But I think what we see in some of the really big budget Hindi language films is that it's like, was that really necessary?
Right. Yeah.
That's, you know, it's like, we get it. You have a ton of money.
Yeah. That's exactly what yeah. I was thinking of. And another of the commentators I was watching was saying how he feels like Malayalam audiences are the smartest, not like the best educated, but are like the most demanding audience. And like, I think that's interesting. And I'm sure there's some truth to that. But I also feel like their industry trusts them more and doesn't yeah. underestimate them. So they're like, we can make a movie that's risky, and we know, and right. we can trust that it's going to find its audience. Like, even if it's not a huge blockbuster, some people will still love it. Someone will still love it. That's just what we've been talking about for weeks, like wanting to see yeah. Hindi movies do.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for more. And I recognize that it'll probably be years before we get more, but it'll still be great when yeah. it happens. But okay, tell me what you learned about the myths.
Okay, we talk about so much here. There's a lot of Kerala folklore present uh-huh. in the film. You know, there's like Yakshi and goblins, because that's what Chatan technically is. He's a goblin. And Odeons, which is what Charlie is.
Yeah.
Neely is a specific character from folklore. And Katanar, also, like the sorcerer priest, also a specific character in folklore. So some general info, just with me like going to the Wikipedia pages of all these things.
Uh-huh.
I thought for a while that Yaksha was just vampire,
mm-hmm.
but apparently it's not.
Oh.
So I'm not actually sure that Nachiappa would actually be considered a Yaksha, which is interesting. I don't know what he would be called, but my understanding is that it's a little different. But the word yaksha in classical Indian texts refers to nature spirits that act as guardians of forests and hidden treasures.
Oh.
And sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. But throughout history, the female version evolved into an entity associated with sexual allure and predatory hunger. Also interesting is that in Kerala, where women have notable social standing, the Yakshi is known for punishing men who exploit or abandon women.
Ah.
So I think in some myths from elsewhere in India, they're seen as like kind of an impure female spirit who uses her sexual wiles to lure men, like innocent men,
yes,
to their deaths. And in Kerala, the script is flipped a little bit.
Yeah.
Where it's like she was like wronged.
Those men weren't so innocent, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love Kerala.
We do love Kerala. Yep.
But yeah, and then Kuti Chatan, or Chatan, is a goblin in Hindu folklore. And according to myth, he is the son of Lord Shiva and the goddess Parvati.
Ah. I like those two are cool.
Right? And he is often depicted as a young boy riding a buffalo and holding a short stick.
Oh.
I like this idea of him as like kind of an obnoxious youth.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's worshipped as a god who provides prosperity and blessings, and he's known for creating illusions.
Mm.
And fun fact about Chatan, he is said to demand food in return for not harassing people, which I respect.
I'll leave you alone if you give me snacks. I wanted to reference something in the opening artwork, which is there's a scene that when I saw it, I thought was like a bunch of kids who were yakshi. So, am I understanding correctly that yaksha is singular and yakshi is plural?
I think so, yeah.
That makes sense because that's the way Hindi does plural. So I thought that it was like a bunch of kids who were like yakshi, like taking people down. But then in another video I watched, they were saying, well, all those children have the same face, so they're chatans.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
That's interesting that he is commonly depicted as a child. And I think we see that in that opening.
Yes.
Artwork.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that you were digging, you know, you're like in this rabbit hole of all this like different stuff, because it does seem like there's a lot to learn about everything.
My YouTube algorithm picked it up quick. It was like, I watched one interview with DQ and Kalyani Priyadarshan, and it was like, would you like to watch 8 more?
And you're like, yes.
Sure.
All of it, please. So one more note about Chatan is that he was worshipped by sorcerers in Kerala.
Oh.
So there's the Kerala connection. It seems like all of these beings kind of exist throughout Hindu mythology and throughout like various cultures across India. But Odion, that term actually refers to a group of people in Kerala who use certain herbs and spells to shapeshift themselves into animals. Yes, and that magic is called Otividya. Throughout legend, they often appear as half-man, half-beast creatures lurking in alleyways at night. And their main power is literally scaring people to death at the sight of them.
Yikes. Yes.
Like, I was like, okay, what else do they do? But no, it's like you see them and you're like, ah, and you die.
Like the Grimm.
That's what I was just thinking. I was like, okay, so it's almost like an omen of death. It's very cool. Otividya was popular not only in northern Kerala, but also in Tamil Nadu. Fun fact there.
Yeah.
So that was kind of general info, but then I found an article that was published in the Hemlock Journal called When Folklore Fights Back, Myth, Memory, and Supernatural Legacy in Loka, Chapter 1, Chandra. So first, this author goes into the background of the legends that appear in the film. It's a little bit different information than what I gathered, just kind of generally.
Okay.
So, as mentioned in the movie, Neeli is a yaksha, one of the best-known spirit legends in Kerala folklore. Loka uses the interpretation that a yaksha is a female spirit who met a violent death and returns for vengeance. According to various tales of Neeli's story, Neeli was born the daughter of a devadasi. She falls in love with a Brahmin priest who deceives and murders her, mostly for her wealth. And after that, she transforms into a yaksha, yakshi. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, because they used yakshi, but other places used yaksha. I'm unsure. Could also be like a dialect thing.
Right, yeah. So insert whichever one you want here.
Yeah, is correct. Then Chatan is a Kuti Chatan, also known as a trickster/goblin in Malayali folklore. Most legends state that there is a fraternity of 390 Kutichatan spirits, and they are invoked by priests or sorcerers. Mm. They're known to be mischievous and are sometimes helpful, but sometimes wicked, depending on who controls them and whether they're offended.
Ah, sure.
So that's also interesting. It's yes. Like, oh, Michael kind of is with the good guys.
But it all depends on who controls them. What does that mean? Yes.
Yes. And then this description of Odeons is that they are shapeshifters that live in rural areas of Kerala. They assume animal forms to carry out pranks, thefts, or vengeance. Mm. And according to legends, their animal shapes often have deformities or something uncanny about their eyes or limbs.
Like a dog.
Mm-hmm. They are both respected and feared.
Mm, sure. So, just like Nachiappa.
And then, exactly. And then Katanar, better known as Katamatatu Katanar, is a legendary sorcerer priest who is reputed to be able to command spirits and perform exorcisms.
Ah.
He is often the figure that you see popping up in legends to restrain or negotiate with supernatural beings like Neely. So the author of this article writes that all of these legends have been preserved through history via oral traditions, ballads, and folk stories that were later compiled into written works. They survived because they are retold and reinterpreted as times change, and they speak to current anxieties, fears, and desires.
Mm.
They wrote, "Loka doesn't just reference these myths, it reorients them by making mythic beings reimagined as superheroes and vigilantes, bringing in moral ambiguity by blending myths with urban crime and social issues. The movie takes the warnings of the myths and folklore and turns them into a universe, giving Neely not just beauty and fury, but a body that bleeds into our world of organ traffickers and corrupt policemen."
Mm.
Yeah. I'm so excited to see how they continue to blend that. Yeah. I think it's going to be fun as we learn more about the myths to see how they interpret it and represent it in the films. It's just so wonderful to me that it's all drawing from their local folklore and history and culture.
Absolutely.
It's so good.
I have two things I want to say. One is, like, I said the thing about the Grimm before. I just love how there are so many, like, types of myths and types of mythical beings that are common around the world. Not every culture, but so many cultures have a story about like the fae, like the small,
yeah.
the small people.
There's like similarities.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, that was the weirdest way to say that word. But,
similarities. Yeah.
But there's, similarities between like every culture, basically. Whatever you can find referenced in one culture is often referenced pretty similarly, but by a different name or, you know, different legends around it. But you can kind of make that connection.
Yeah. I don't think it's unreasonable to assume that that means these things are real and they exist in different places and in different ways. And
forget what like the field is called, but there is like a field of study / knowledge, science, whatever you want to call it, that looks into the concurrent development of like belief systems and legends that happened in populations that had no contact with each other. And it's like, how did such different groups of humans in such different parts of the world come up with the same concept at the same time?
I'd like for that to be my field. How do I become one of those researchers?
I wish I could remember what it's called. It's definitely something.
I can only think of like cryptids, but that's not like cryptid academia.
A little different. That was great. No notes. I mean, only good things.
Yes, only good things. Yeah, I'm so glad you liked it. I knew you would, and I'm glad we got to talk about it.
Yeah, Bollywood stuff.
I do have two pieces of Bollywood news, neither of which are super fun. The first one is super not fun, which is, I don't know if you saw this, but Dharmendra died. We're recording this on Tuesday. He just died yesterday.
I was just thinking we should, I know we had mentioned before, like, ooh, we'd like to watch some more Dharmendra, but I think that making that more of a priority in the beginning of next year.
Yeah, in the new year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. He was 89 years old. Lots of stars have paid tribute, but I'll quote from Shah Rukh Khan, who posted on X, quote, "an inconsolable and irreplaceable loss to not just his family, but to cinema and film lovers the world over. You are immortal and your soul will live through your films and your beautiful family forever." And The Juggernaut also did a really great profile on him that I read, and apparently he was a complete outsider to the industry, and it took him like multiple years and multiple attempts to make it big.
Wow.
So I loved getting to read that story, and I'm also just glad that we got to, even if it was just for a couple of months, like feel love for Dharmendra while he was still alive.
Yeah, I agree with that.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
My other piece of news is less sad, but also like not like the most exciting thing in my book, which is that Priyanka Chopra Jonas is doing a movie with S.S. Rajamouli.
Oh, interesting. That's an interesting combo.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of stuff teasing it coming out recently, but I think it doesn't come out until 2027.
Wow.
I don't even know that they've really like started making it yet.
Okay. Interesting.
Uh-huh. But so the movie is called Varanasi. It will be a Telugu movie. And there's actually a Malayalam actor in it who I really like. So there's people in it who I'm excited to see. And like Rajamouli does make good movies. But like you said, I was just sort of like, why, Priya? Why? And I know why, because he's like this big filmmaker.
I kind of have gotten the impression from her lately that she's kind of intentionally choosing projects that say something.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just basing that off of White Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's just like my feeling of her as a person is that she is so woman forward. She's such a champion of women. Yeah. And I would not describe Rajamouli that way.
Right. I think that's what's interesting there. So, and for all we know, maybe this is his attempt at being woman forward.
That's kind of the thought I had too. Like, that's the hopeful part of me. I don't know the actor who is like the guy in it, but there is like, you know, a big Telugu guy. So I don't know if he's going to be like really who the story's about. We'll just have to wait and find out. But it is, it's one of those things where I'm like, Priya doesn't need him.
No.
So I'm just interested to know that she has chosen to work with him. And I just hope that the product that they create together is worthy of her.
I will also say I'll be intrigued, assuming that she speaks Telugu in it.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Minds are open, and we'll see you all in 2027. Them all. We'll see. Yeah.
we'll see what happens. We'll see what 2027 brings.
Yeah. If man is still alive.
Yeah. God. Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so too. Really, I hope so, just so I can see more Loka movies. That's the main reason I want the world
and
to keep
going. And
the new
Mummy.
And the new Mummy, yeah.
Pluggables.
Yes.
Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. Also, consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can also leave a rating or review.
Mm-hmm.
Wink. But whatever you do or do not do, thank you so much for listening.
Indeed. And join us on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add the songs that we love, whether or not they're Bollywood movies, from those movies to those playlists. And you can listen along. They are linked in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And that's it for 2026.
As far as movies go.
Yeah, as far as new movies go.
As far as new movies go.
Yes. Yeah. So our next episode is going to be our 2026 year in review. So we're looking forward to that. Some bloopers, as always.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'll be good. That's what we have. Yeah. Oh, God, this was so good. I'm still thinking about Loka. But,
I know. Me too. Yeah.
We'll be thinking about it for days, weeks, months,
years.
So wonderful. So until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
And Mollywood definitely doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood, and more specifically, Mollywood.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I do think there are moments, and maybe they're increasing in frequency, where I might need Mollywood a little more than I need Bollywood. But that doesn't mean that I don't still sometimes need Bollywood.
Yeah. Right. We need all of it. Just give it all to us.
As yeah. Keep it coming, guys.
Yeah. And they will.
That's and they will. Great. Yeah. All right. Bye.